Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Boat Podcast. My name is Oluwatosin, and on today's episode I have with me the author of Sajamako. His name is Bumi Ashaolu, and on today's episode he's going to talk about what inspired him to write the book, his experiences in the boarding house, and he's also going to give an advice to the Gen Z and millennials who don't really know much about what the boarding house system was in the 90s. So stay tuned. The first question I like to ask my guest or whenever I have an author on the Boat Podcast is what inspired them to write the book. So what inspired you to write Sajamako?
What inspired me to write the book was because I felt I needed to get some of the experiences off my chest. I started writing the book in 96. This was just after I left Nigeria. I just finished secondary school from the boarding school from Sajamako, and my family moved over to the UK properly. My mom had been here for some time, and she decided, along with my dad, to get myself, my brothers, and my sister to the UK. So this was maybe 2 months after I finished boarding school, and I felt that the stories at Sajamako were very dramatic, very extreme, and very different from the mundane, almost boring experiences that I had when I was a child in primary school, growing up on a serene, bubble-like environment at Obafemi Awolowo University campus, where I grew up. So Sajamako's stories were more dramatic. They were just adventurous, scary stories, the sort of thing that you sit down and listen to someone tell you and your eyes will be wide open. So it felt like I just had to write this down. So I started those in 96, but I didn't really pick it up properly till maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, where I decided actually enough time had passed, I need to get this thing done. So that's what inspired me to write the book.
There's a part in your book where you said, "Exploring life at Sajamako opened my eyes to the world out there." What do you mean by that?
When I say exploring life at Sajamako opened my eyes to the world out there, what I mean is, as I said before, I grew up on a very chilled university campus in Ife. Things were generally orderly. Even today, despite all the chaos that you may find outside the campus in Nigeria in general, OAU campus is still a place of escape for anyone, actually, if you were able to. The grass is still relatively green. There's still some sort of law and order that's still there. So this was my norm. Boarding school at Sajamako in Owo was very, very different. Not only did I collide with other subcultures, and by that I mean actual people groups, tribes, it also was a place where people kind of were left to their own devices, essentially. Yes, you had the masters, our teachers, and the school authorities in charge, but they weren't in charge of a student's daily life 24/7 as you would if you were in your family house on campus in Ife. So there were things that I just didn't realize about how people lived that I found out for the first time when I arrived at Sajamako. Apart from the language, the food, culture, habits, we were raised in an environment that was relatively safe. It was a very safe space, whereas Sajamako or war outside my bubble OAU school gates, OAU campus gates, was a more risky, more upside down environment, which really was more of Nigeria, essentially. So I'd lived in a cocoon, and now at Owo in Sajamako, I was exposed to the real Nigeria, essentially.
Okay, so my next question is this. There seems to be a cycle of brutality by senior year students year in, year out, where they just like to oppress junior students. You gave examples of so many things that happened while you were in the boarding house. Why is this so? Is it a function of the society we live in, or students just like to follow the norm?
The cycle of brutality by seniors is sort of a standard feature in boarding school life. Even if you look at the UK boarding school setup, many years ago, it was really bad. It has improved somewhat, but it's still there. Even in day schools, you still find this happening. Whenever you have children put together in a secluded environment where the oversight of older people, teachers, parents, whatever, is removed a bit, the worst of humanity sometimes comes out in children. And I mean, you've seen films made about this as well. So I think a bit of it is just human nature. But at the same time, I think you find that there is whatever society is doing outside also filters in a bit into a boarding school environment. So in Tajamako, yeah, some of the things that you find outside that were not great. So for example, Nigerian culture sometimes will see that people don't want to queue to get anything. It's the complete opposite to the way the English, for example, behave. I mean, some European cultures also don't like to queue. So it's not just a Nigerian thing. So you now imagine having a bunch of students around and you're supposed to respect some rules about queuing to be orderly. Well, you're not going to get very far unless you put in a very strong authority figure to try and get people in line. So yeah, it's a mix of what you find in the culture in general, seeping into school, but also kids behaving badly. Even day students, I have kids now, and you can see how some of these bad behavior does come out. Even in the best regulated environment, you still see kids behaving badly in some sense. So it is a mixture of both what's in there in people's hearts and the society that they're growing up in.
You said in your book that the boarding house was a bittersweet experience. Is there anything you would like to change about that experience?
Yes, it was a bittersweet experience. If I were to change some things, I think in general, I didn't write this book to try to lecture and point the fingers at certain groups to say, well, you did wrong, it's all your fault. I think the characters in the book, whether it's me, my friends, brother, siblings, other students, and to some extent the teachers as well, I think we were all victims of what was going on in Nigeria. So in the end, the most of the blame, if one wants to blame anyone, has to be attached to the leadership of the country, people who were setting the framework to see how Nigeria would be prospering going forward. And if that is wrong, it filters down all the way to the experiences of students. So our teachers, for example, had a good heart to try to get the best for us, but Nigeria became difficult for them, and they then switched off gradually over time. And once they pulled out somewhat, the students basically essentially took over the running of most of what was school life. And how you trust a 14, 15 year old to run the affairs of 1,000, 2,000 students, I mean, it's pretty risky. So I think it's the extremes of the experience that I think I would prefer to change. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with students trying to flex their muscles because they're seniors, but you know, you can't police every exaggeration of authority necessarily, but you can have guidelines to stop the extremes of those things happening. The same thing with the teachers. They also had extreme behaviors that were damaging to students. So if I were to change anything, it would be to say, despite all the stuff that was happening that was bad or potentially damaging to students, can we dial back the extreme versions of what we're putting out there? And you see this in society as well. It didn't stop in Sajamako. The way we raise kids tends to be a bit too firm. This view of children should be, you know, seen, not heard, it has consequences, because the child sometimes will not be able to assert themselves when their voices need to be heard. And you find this particularly damaging if you find that the child is in a workplace, particularly in the West, and the cultures are a bit different. They expect you to be assertive. And because of your culture that says, essentially, over respect authority, you get people not saying things that they should say, even though they're right. So my view is that the extremes of our culture and behavior should be dialed in a bit, particularly from my experience in Norway.
What are the things you would love to see change with the Nigerian education system?
Well, the things I would love to see improve in the Nigerian education system, honestly, this could take all day. But one can summarize it and say that the education system issues in Nigeria, they are not a special problem in the sense that, oh, it's just the education system. It's the whole of Nigeria. It's because Nigeria went down a path that was very bad and difficult and deteriorating that you find that the education system has also suffered. We could say the same thing about the health system, where you see a brain drain that is really sad for the country. I mean, just last week, I was helping a recently settled or resettled a friend of a friend to the UK because the UK opened their arms to this lady because she's a medical doctor. Only 30-something-year-old lady. But this is not a unique situation. I mean, so many of these guys who were trained in Nigeria have and are continuing to leave the country because there's just not good governance and good leadership in terms of how the country is run, essentially. So it's not just the education system. It's a flaw or a bent that you can say you can see from the very top. So yeah, it could be, you know, funding, money talks as usual. So yeah, funding and governance, I think, is probably they're probably the two things I would say at the top of the food chain for education. But it can be any other sector we pick, honestly.
And so, lastly, for someone who is a millennial or a Gen Z, what lessons would you like to share from your boarding house experience?
For the millennial or Gen Z generation, what can they learn from us? I think, first of all, maybe to admit, because I was born in 1980, some people would say that I'm, you know, one of the, I fit just into that millennial category, but I don't think or behave, I think, like the classic millennial group. So, I mean, if I were to give advice to these groups, to be honest, there are things that both older and younger generations can learn from each other. I would say, if I were to give advice, it's to say that actually the Gen Z and millennial, but more Gen Z, have, to some extent, better opportunities available to them and than we had. The thought process at the time that I was going through school was a lot more narrow than what those that came after us had. So you couldn't really get away with trying to debate or convince your guardians or your parents that you wanted to explore something that they didn't really understand. I remember, as I mentioned in the book, asking my dad what options to put in the university application forms in terms of school choices. And I'd put OAU Ife, where I grew up, as my number one. And I went to my dad and asked, well, what should I put for the other two options? Because I wasn't really sure. Should I put Ibadan, Lagos? I mean, which other university should I put down? And he looked at me and said, put OAU for the three. And he just walked away like, is this really a question? I mean, I couldn't debate this with him. He didn't explain why. Whereas generations, the other groups after my group or my generation, you could say that at least there's a dialogue that you can have. Things are a bit more open. So embrace the opportunities and the freedom that you have. there's a bit more risk taking that you can get away with and go for it. And you're younger than us in a sense, so don't have the fear that, oh, if I take some risks and it doesn't work out, my life is over. It's not over. Try your hands at new things. This life is short, and you know, COVID has taught all of us that if you don't enjoy life while you have it, it can easily be taken away from you. So appreciate the times and the opportunities that you have, and don't worry too much about what if this goes wrong. Give your best in terms of attempting things, and you know, essentially leave the rest to God. So yeah, embrace your opportunities is probably the most important thing I'd leave for the generations. Thanks.